So Jesus answers, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." He also talks about love. To love Jesus is to keep his commandments, and he promises to ask God to send the advocate, Paraclete in Greek. We'll come back to that later. The third question is put by someone named Judas. Now, this took me by surprise a little bit. Do you think about Jesus' disciples being pretty much his age? Well, it seems as if this Judas, who is not Iscariot, was probably James's son, another disciple. So there's multiple generations in Jesus' crowd. Judas, James's son, asks in verse 22, "Why do you reveal yourself to us and not to the world?" And Jesus replies with the text that we've heard already. And then look ahead to chapter 15. There's the metaphor of the vine and the branches. This is all part of a longer sermon that John records Jesus preaching, essentially, to his disciples about what to do when I'm gone, because he's about to go. So here we've zoomed out a bit, and we've looked at the immediate surroundings of the passage that we're studying today. The disciples were afraid. John's community was afraid when he was writing the gospel. And we have our own feelings, our own needs, and our own reasons for feeling afraid and alone and hesitating to love each other. We have places of brokenness. In North America, the dominant culture is one of individualism. We protect our individual rights with the law and absorb media messages that individuality is good. But Christian values run counter to this extreme individualism, even though we find it natural to go along with this cultural way, the cultural flow. Being the body of Christ is a different calling. This individualism also emphasizes that each of us has a unique identity, and so no other person can truly understand us. That can put up barriers. We also have fear. We may not be sure of the safety to share our most vulnerable personal stories. It's scary to be vulnerable. Those are some individual concerns. We also have tough times as a church sometimes. Kern Road is experiencing the beginning or the middle stage, maybe, of a new structure of leadership, and we're feeling our way and not sure exactly how it's going or will go. Kern Road has been engaging in work to listen to each other in the sexuality and the church class, and that can feel lonely. It's not that we haven't done this before, because we have had multiple episodes of learning and listening together. It's not that there are no resources, as the handout that was available at the play 2 weeks ago showed. It's not that other denominations aren't struggling with how to respond to the people within their midst whose sexual identities are not in the majority. But it's still lonely and full of trepidation anyway. It's risky. Beth Gehrig told us last week that not very many Mennonite churches have booked the Listening for Grace play. They're finding it risky too. Just doing this work is scary. And a universal Christian struggle is how to follow Jesus in our daily lives in this culture, even in the midst of this wonderful community. We can feel lonely in this task. We may each wonder, am I the only one who feels this way? Jesus knew that the disciples and John's community and any other Christian would experience brokenness and loneliness and fear. That's a friction point. It's a demand for attending to our brokenness. It's a demand to open ourselves to the Holy Spirit and welcome the reconversions that truly make us the body of Christ. When the disciples heard the sermon of Jesus and when John's community read it to each other, they heard these messages of good news. My Father and I will come dwell with those who love me, They would not be alone. Good news. The Father will send the Holy Spirit in my name. A third person enters the picture. More good news. So let's look into that a little bit. Who is this Holy Spirit? Various translations read comforter, companion, advocate. The Greek term paraclete literally means to go alongside. The para is alongside, and so it's one who accompanies or goes alongside. So I copied the translation definition into my sermon here and highlighted a couple things I want to share with you. It's one who is summoned, one who is called to one's side, called to one's aid, one who pleads another's cause, an intercessor, and in the widest sense, a helper and assistant, a guide. What Jesus was promising was a presence which would help them remember what he said and give them a deeper understanding. He gave them the Holy Spirit to make them the body of Christ. So just a little bit before our passage, back in verses 15 to 17, there's a portion that has been set to music. In the King James Version, it reads, "If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth." So there's a musical setting of this by Thomas Tallis that we're going to listen to now, and I'll tell you a little bit about how that brings out the theology of the Holy Spirit. Even if you don't read music, you can see the work of the Holy Spirit, where at the very beginning the voices are all together, and then the separate voices come in at different times. No one voice has a leadership of every section. There are different gifts, different timing, different shifts into an ability to focus on the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Then these voices come into unity at the end, even though they have had different things to say along the way. I've enjoyed lots of times over the years where I look for the theology inside the music as well as in the words, and that's one of those that has spoken to me really vividly. So, our culture forms us for fear, and how do we transform that fear? How do we welcome the Spirit? We could, and we do, ignore the summons to transformation. We could, and we do, numb ourselves. We cover the irritant like an oyster covers the grit. We hide the possibility from our sight like the ostrich hides her head in the sand. Or we could turn into that friction, turn toward it, turn toward that nudge, the brokenness, the opportunity to do something different, and invite the one who walks alongside to accompany us in that brokenness toward transformation. Maybe, just maybe, it looks like this. See what you think. Kern Road, School of Jesus Following. It's perfect timing. Nobody has actually purchased a sign yet for the front road. It's a different metaphor to work with. So, who's the headmaster of this school, the Kern Road School of Jesus Following? Any guesses? It's the Holy Spirit. For all those reasons we looked at before, we need to be a school, because all of what we do everywhere, and the whole roots and shoots metaphor fits here too, has the potential to include those moments of friction, those nudges, those broken places that need transformation. And this is the place to study with the headmaster. Every part of our church is a setting for this study of the following of Jesus. The worship setting is where many of us gather for this. The formation hour afterward is some diligent work and some intentional stuff for doing that studying of following Jesus. And also, many of our other activities may have their moments of brokenness or their potentials for change. In our coffee hour interactions, we can open ourselves to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. In hosting events that we did last night and 2 weeks ago and regularly in this building, we can open ourselves to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. In our teams and committee work, we can open ourselves to that guidance. And you know, some universities have extension services where they try new things and they share insight with the rest of us. So can you see it? The Cana community is the urban extension, and Restoration Farm is the rural extension, and 10,000 Villages may be a test plot, and with Bondago Mennonite Church, we have a pen pal and exchange student relationship with another School of Jesus Following. This is such good news. I don't mean to say it's easy, because if there isn't challenge in it, then there isn't transformation. But with the Holy Spirit as our headmaster, we are not alone, and we do not need to be afraid. May it be so.
Let's respond with number 105 and sing The Journey. Don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid, my love is stronger, and I his knee.